Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy constant faithfulness. Thou art always the same. Always Thy mind toward us is that of grace and mercy. We thank Thee for it. We pray now, our Father, that Thou wilt guide us and lead us in the way that Thou wouldst have us to go. Help us and show us the things that Thou wouldst have us to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we move along now in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we come in the 12th chapter to the open criticism of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Pharisees. And the first portion we're going to study, which is in the first 8 verses, is an incident that shows how criticism can spring up. Let me read the passage to you. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. By the way, I suppose you folks are all acquainted with the fact that the word corn does not refer to the kind of corn you have with cobs and ears of corn. It doesn't refer to what we call Indian maize, because there wasn't any known in those country in those days. This is the old English word for grain. And this is what was used in Britain up to within the last 150 years. And even now, they will use it over there for grain. If they speak of corn, they mean wheat, oats, barley, rye, flax. All of that is corn. And so here, when they went on the Sabbath day through the corn, they went to the wheat field, perhaps, or barley field or oat field. I think this is a wheat field. And His disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Ears of wheat began to ravel it out and eat it, as a person can do. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Maybe you wouldn't recognize it, but what they're accusing them of is threshing. They're accusing them of harvesting, because they are raveling out some of the wheat in their hands and eating the ears of, eating the kernels of wheat. But He said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? And have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when He was departed thence, He went into their synagogue. Now let's look at this just as we go along. In the second verse I read to you, when the Pharisees saw it. Now we're going to pay more attention to the Pharisees later, but just for the present we'll remember that they were a class of people that were famous because they were trying to be right by keeping regulations. They were very careful and sensitive about outward conduct. But this is says more than that. There is something here for us to take note of. When the Pharisees saw it, saw what? The conduct of the disciples. Now, right there, you can put your finger down. Why did they see the conduct of the disciples? What were they looking at them for? You see, when you have a disposition to look at other people to find fault, you are now in the condition and the frame of mind that these Pharisees were in, noting what others do wrong. What's wrong with that? If they're actually wrong, then in noting what they do wrong, aren't you just being honest and above board? It's a little more than that. I'll tell you one thing that it does show. It shows a lack of love. When you're looking for faults in people, you don't love them. You want to try that out? Whom do you love? Do you have any children of your own? Do you love them? Do you like to find out their faults? You have any people that you really care for? You got any friends? Do you have a real close personal friend that you think a great deal of? Do you look for their faults? Do you watch them to see whether they do anything right or wrong? And especially if they do wrong. On the other hand, let me ask you this. By any chance, is there somebody that you don't like? Is there someone right now, when I was to say, if I was to speak right now and ask and suggest the word enemy, does anyone come to your mind? All right. Now, when they act, and you watch them, what are you looking for? Aren't you looking for their mistakes? Aren't you looking for their faults? Well, that's this exactly. Now, people might not realize it, but if you have a frame of mind, when you live in the community, and you see this man doesn't keep his yard clean, that man doesn't park his car right, that man, dog, he barks too loud, that man has vines that grow over on your property, that man has his radio, plays too loud. You find faults. All the way around, there's fault, fault, fault. Now, mind you, every single thing I've mentioned might be true. And every single thing I mentioned might even be wrong as such. But if I notice it, if it is in my mind to think of those things, I'll tell you one thing, there's evidence that I don't love those people. Because if I loved those people, I'd be covering those things up. I'd be paying no attention to it. When the Pharisees saw that these men were eating wheat or whatever it was while walking through the field, they were noticing what they did and they thought they saw them do wrong. Now here's the next thing to notice. They came to the Lord Jesus. Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day. Why not go to the disciples? Why not talk to them? Why come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's pretty obvious. You see, deep down in their hearts, they didn't really care about the disciples. And they didn't really care about the disciples' conduct. What they cared about was Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't like him. They were opposed to him. And so they brought in something that would put the blame on him. They wanted to, as it were, wear him down, knock him down, obstruct him any way, shape, or form. And that's what you really find in here. When they said that about these people, that we saw them doing something that it's not lawful according to the law to do. Do you see what that also reveals? That reveals that they're quite sure, they feel quite confident, that they are able to declare what's wrong. They're competent to judge other people's conduct. All of that is very dangerous. Now let us read on how the Lord answered. I want you to notice that the Lord did not answer as he could have. I think at least he could have. I think he could have pointed out they didn't eat much. I think he could have pointed out they didn't go into a whole-scale harvesting. No, he just accepted their accusation as it read, just the way they put it. And notice how he faces them down. Have you not read what David did? Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Pharisees. And do you know what the Pharisees stress? The Bible. You know what they go by? The literal Word of God. So now he comes up that way. He says, haven't you read in the Bible which you read, the literal Word of God which you read? Have you not read what David did? It isn't only that David did this, but the big thing in the Bible is that it isn't called a sin. And it wasn't held against David. Because you will remember that the Bible says about David that he was a man who did all things after God's own heart, save in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's the only thing that's left out. A good many people cast off on David as if he was a wrongdoer all around. The Bible doesn't. The Bible reports everything that he did, but indicates there was just one thing in all his doings that God was displeased with, and that was the case of Bathsheba, the case of the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But in this case, certainly, there's nothing said about criticism about David going in and eating the showbread. And the only people who were to eat the showbread were the priests. And yet, because he had hunger, he did it. Now, notice that the Lord Jesus did not argue from the basis of hunger. He argued from the basis of Scripture. And why? Look who he was talking to. He was talking to these Pharisees who go by Scripture. And so he used Scripture. And he says, have you not read what David did? And aren't you acquainted with what the Bible says about this? How he ate the showbread when he was hungry? And then again, in the fifth verse, he says, have you not read in the law how the priests profane the Sabbath? And you might wonder, well, how do the priests profane the Sabbath? Well, the priests work on the Sabbath day. They kill the animals and bring them in for sacrifice. Those of us who have served in the ministry are very conscious of the fact that the Sunday is oftentimes our heaviest day. We work far harder on Sunday than we do any other day, yet nobody counts that we're working on Sunday. Because we're doing something that we think is necessary And it's an act that is necessary and is being done for the sake of the glory of God, for the worship of God. The Lord Jesus says here, have you not read in the law how the priests work on the Sabbath day, and yet they're blameless? As I say, he could have argued this from any point of view, but he argued from Scripture, and I take from note this note from that, that when you're dealing with the Pharisees and you really want to give them something to go on where you can help them, Scripture is, of course, the thing to do. Under other circumstances, he would use other lines of argument, but in this, he went by Scripture. And then he said in verse 7, if you had known what this meant, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now pause a moment and look at that. What does it mean? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. To me, what this means is that God is saying that he's interested in mercy being shown more than he is interested in sacrifice being given. By the way, if you think about that, you will see mercy is what God does to man. Sacrifice is what man does for God. And the whole attitude of God is more concerned with what he can do for man than what man can do for him, which is to say, God is more interested in giving than he is in demanding. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. It will go out from me to him in the form of grace, not come from him to me in the form of keeping regulations or keeping rules. That kind of thing isn't true only about one thing, but everything that has true with reference to God. God looks at us from the standpoint of wanting to help us, rather than from the standpoint of trying to find fault. Sometimes one is inclined to think, with reference to people who find fault, that all they're looking for is something to condemn people for. And the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking, in all that he was doing, in every possible way, to help men. What they wrong, they did was wrong. But the Lord Jesus wanted to do grace and mercy to them. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel with its message of grace and mercy. And we pray that thou wilt continue it in our hearts. For thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.